Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm just having a little technical difficulty. And hold on, I'm going to try and plug you in one more time. Also, I have to keep it all separate. Sometimes that old devil try to work and just got to outwork him.
This service is provided by conferencing.com. Access code followed by the pound.
What was the access?
Access code accepted. Announce yourself.
But as soon as I add, I'm going to try and look at that. I add the call. Ay, ay, ay. Anne, are you there? Yeah, there. Okay, darling, let me see if I can, no, you know what? Because I can't get you in the room. And answer the phone. I'm going to call you right back.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to call you right back. Oh. So sorry, everybody. Some callers, they don't let call directly in. So
service is provided by pre-conference. Access code accepted. Announce yourself.
Okay. Let's call this one. Okay. And Blog Talk, I apologize for the Blog Talk listeners. I'm just having some technical difficulty, but we will get
Hello?
Started. Hi, Ann, darling. Great. And hopefully
Hi,
it'll go right through. All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Boy, but that's, you're hearing me from my phone and not from the dashboard. Why it's just not taking this call? Testing, testing, 1, 2, 1. No, it's not going through. I don't know what they did. In the name of Jesus, I'm just going to move forward because I have to. Okay, great. Well, I'm glad to have you. And talk show, let's see. I'm going to get started here.
Talk show. Recorded live.
All right, here goes to cross-streaming. It's a little work, but I ask that you bear with me. We have one more to bring on board for recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, there we go. Okay, we are cross-streaming. Welcome to Prayer Warriors Needed, because Prayer Warriors are needed. Tonight, we have a great night plan. We are looking at the minor prophets, which we've been studying for a little while now, and started out with a review of Hosea and Joel and Amos. So I'll do a quick review and of the important parts, and then we have a midterm exam. So again, right now, I'm taking these classes because this is a Bible program that I did buy. And before I disseminate this program into the community or advertise or recruit, I need to take the classes. So I welcome you to join with me in this Bible ministry training program. And when I do have these classes out to the public, I will be quite prepared for them, purpose of what I'm doing. So let me open with a short prayer, and we'll get right into the lesson. God, we just give you all the praise and the glory that we can come together another night, that you brought us through another week. God, you didn't have to do it, but you did. We give you all the praise. We give you the honor. We thank you, God, for you being God. We thank you, God, for what the devil meant for bad, you're using for good. We thank you, God, that we know that demons are coming down. Spiritual wickedness in high places are going to be dismantled, removed, exposed. We thank you, God, for each and every person that's praying on this earth, God, so that these Satanists do not have more power than they need to have. God, we thank you, God, for everything you've done. We thank you, God, for peace, love, compassion, prosperity that we are guaranteed. We thank you, God, that you're a provider, a healer, a doctor, God above all gods. Thank you, God, that everything happens according to your will and in your time. We thank you, God, that what may seem bleak and look not right, God, you have a purpose and a reason for it. Thank you, God, for you just being all sovereign, all merciful. We thank you, God, for the great changes that you have in store. We thank you, God, for lining up particularly targeted individuals. Heavenly Father, for the assignment you created them for and not the assignment that they created for themselves. We thank you, God, for that hedge of protection over each one of us. We thank you, God, for the hedge of protection over our loved ones, our parents, our seniors, our elders, our children, our nieces, our nephews, our bloodlines. We and declare that our bloodlines will carry the word of God, will live according to his will live a righteous life. We thank you, God, that we're on the part of the earth that are actively fighting in spiritual warfare, bring demon forces down. We ask you, God, for special blessings, turn curses into blessing over our governance structures. We ask you, God, for special blessings over our judiciary, our legislative branch, and our executive branch, that every demon force trying to usurp authorities that they do not have will be dismantled, binded out, rebuked. Things are going to turn around. We thank you, God, for praying people, for God's people that are coming together to turn things around. We thank you, God, that every ritual that they did have the power that they have, for the wealth and the power, the greed that they've put across this earth, that curse is going to turn into a blessing. We're going to witness transference from curses to blessing across our governance structure straight to the people, that things are going to turn around. We ask you, God, to give strength and endurance to those that may be suffering because of the electronic torture, income lynching, blacklisting, whatever situation, organized stalking. Bind those demon forces up. We bind up every ritual they did to have the power to disable public protection officers, to make it appear as if it's no help on the earthly level for people to turn to that are being legally abused, electronically abused, tortured. God, we thank you that you are the help above all helps. And we ask you, God, to use each and every one of us to make that help be manifested on this earth, Heavenly Father, that we can turn things around. We can show demons that they are not in charge. As the word says, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We know that this earth belongs to you, Most High God. Demon forces trying to usurp authority over it, bind it up and put in their place your time. We thank you, God, that you're awakening the people, that you're turning things around, that it is God's people that can take the authority back from these demons that they have usurped from your people. We thank you, God, for the awakening. We thank you, God, that you're using your people to come together to turn this thing around. We bind up every Satanist in the executive, legislative, and judicial branch, trying to use mind control technologies, trying to use all types of demon brainwashing, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, God, for the Bible knowledge that we have, that we're going to further get tonight through this lesson on the minor prophets. We thank you, God, that we have the privilege to consult with biblical history, basic instructions before leaving earth. We can look at some of the things that happened on earth in the Old Testament times, and we can compare them to today. We know that you're the same God from yesterday, the same God today, and you brought these people out, Heavenly Father, out of horrific situations, as evil has been on this earth a long time. But the Word of God promises us restoration, turnover, a turning point. God, we stand on your word that in due time, things are going to turn around. God, we give you all the praise and the glory. Bless that targeted individual community, God. Let each one stand strong and endure and just take whatever situations put at them, Lord, as a lesson that is well learned and is building them closer to the Most High God. Give them the coverage and protection, Heavenly Father, from that great sacrifice that was made, that no demon force, no voodoo, no hoodoo, no satanic forces can have any impact on them. Give you honor and praise, God, for protection given us. Give you honor and praise for binding up any type of premeditated car accident, premeditated falling accidents, premeditated poisoning, hormonal poisoning, cancer, disaster, whatever the demon's plotting and planning, bind it up. We plead the blood of Jesus on it that it will have no effect, no impact on any of your people. We ask you, God, for special shielding for those going through the chips that have been implanted in them, those going through electronic torture. We ask you, God, to send your warrior people for the person, PI, to create the mechanism to disable chips, disable implants that have been wrongfully put in innocent people. We bind up the spirit of scientific obstruction, scientific experimentation, eugenics, genocide, all types of medical experiments that are unnecessary, unworthy, cause nothing but harm. We plead the blood of Jesus on it to break that curse, to break the silencing curse that comes with it in the name of Jesus. God, we give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you, God, for the great changes. Thank you, God, for using science to the advancement of civilization as opposed to the advancement of depopulation and genocide. Bind that demon up in the name of Jesus. Look forward for the restoration, the turnaround, Jesus. Okay.
Amen.
So we're taking a look at the 12 minor prophets, and we have a midterm tonight. We'll just go over a little review. We looked at the common titles for the books, Minor Prophets. This title came about during Augustine's time. They were minor prophets preaching a major message. Hebrew Bible regards these writings as one book, and the Hebrew Bible calls this one book, it calls it in the Hebrew Bible, it's called the 12. In the canon, the minor prophets are the last 12 books of our Old Testament. The canons refer to the 12 minor prophets. 12 minor prophets have never been strongly challenged as being part of the inspired canon of Scripture. The messages are just as important and unique as those of the major prophets. And the difference usually from the major and the minor prophets, the only difference, not that one is major and one is minor, is that the major prophet books are longer. That is the only reason they're considered major, and that all of the minor prophet books are shorter. The minor prophet books are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. The kings during this time were kings reigning in Israel. Some of the kings are Jonah, Jeroboam, Jeroboam the second, Amos, Zechariah, Shelem. Note that the Assyrians took Israel captive toward the close of Hosea and Amos ministries. Captivity was God's judgment for sin. We can see what awesome responsibility was on Hosea and Amos's shoulders. It was warning the people that judgment was. People were just carrying on, doing as they please. Okay, the minor prophets of Israel, they were prophets in Israel, prophets in Judah, and then they were considered post-exilic prophets. Those are prophets after judgment occurred. The minor prophets of Israel were Jonah, Amos, and Hosea. The minor prophets of Judah were Obadiah, Joel, Micah, Nahum, Zephaniah, and Habakkuk. Please note, minor prophets were the minor prophets of Judah. So the only ones in Israel were Jonah, Amos, and Hosea. We have six in Israel. Obadiah, Joel, Micah, Nahum, Zephaniah, and Habakkuk. The post-exilic prophets were Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. They were the last writing prophets to minister to Israel in Old Testament times. They are called the post-exilic prophets because they served after the Jews had returned to Canaan from exile in Babylon. The post-exilic prophets are also called the restoration prophets. So that's Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. They're called the restoration prophets because they were the prophets after the exile, after the judgment had occurred. They came in when the restoration had occurred. What a better time. They had it was probably easier. More people were more willing to listen because things were being restored. Even more difficult to try to prophesy to people and things are disastrous. You know, and disaster's coming. All right, Hosea is the next minor prophet. The Christ of Hosea in Matthew 2:15 applies to Hosea 11:1, the Christ in Egypt when Israel was a child. I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Matthew quotes the second half of this verse to show that the exodus of Israel from Egypt as a new nation was prophetic, was a prophetic type of Israel's Messiah, who was also called out of Egypt in his childhood. Both Israel and Christ left Palestine to take refuge. Christ's identification with our plight and his loving work of redemption can be seen as Hosea's redemption of Gomer from the slave market. This Hosea was interesting. This shows a great story of redemption. Gomer was his wife. The wife went and prayed him. Well, the key words in Hosea, the loyal love of God for Israel, despite the way Israel was carrying on. God's loyalty is what inspired Hosea immensely. The themes of Hosea are in chapters 1 to 3, and they echo throughout the rest of the book. The adultery of Gomer, it illustrates the sin of Israel. The degradation of Gomer. Gomer was Hosea's wife. It represents the judgment of Israel and Hosea's redemption of Gomer. Hosea was a prophet that forgave his wife, went out there and ended up in slavery. And he was restored through Hosea, and Hosea compares that to the love Christ had for Israel during its horrific time when people were just committing all kinds of sins. So Hosea pictures the restoration of Israel more than any other Old Testament prophet. Hosea's personal experiences illustrate his prophetic message in his relationship to Gomer. Hosea portrays God's faithfulness, justice, love, and forgiveness towards his people. The theme of God's holiness is developed in contrast to Israel's corruption and apostasy. About half of what Hosea utters deals specifically with idolatry. The theme of God's justice is contrasted with Israel's lack of justice. There's never been a good king in Israel, and judgment is long overdue. The theme of God's love is seen in contrast to Israel's hardness and empty ritual. God's loyal love is unconditional and ceaseless in spite of Israel's manifold sins. God tries every means to bring his people back to himself. He pleads with the people to return to him, but they will not. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Hosea 14:1. The key verse is Hosea 4:1. The key chapter is Hosea 4. The nation of Israel has left the knowledge of the truth and followed the idolatrous ways of their pagan neighbors. Central to the book in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Jose is called by God to prophesy during Israel's last hours, just as Jeremiah will prophesy years later to the crumbling kingdom of Judah. As one commentator noted, what we see in the prophecy of Hosea are the last few swirls as the kingdom of Israel goes down the drain. This book represents God's last gracious effort to plug the drain. Hosea's personal tragedy is an intense illustration of Israel's national tragedy. It is a story of one-sided love and faithfulness that represents the relationship between Israel and God. As Gomer is married to Hosea, so Israel is betrothed to God. Both relationships gradually disintegrate, break up. Gomer runs after other men, and Israel runs after other gods. Israel's spiritual adultery is illustrated in Gomer's physical adultery. The development of the book can be traced in two parts: the adulterous wife, faithful husband, and the adulterous Israel, faithful God. Hosea 4:14 and Hosea 1:1-3. The adulterous wife and faithful husband. Hosea marries a woman named Gomer, who bears him three children appropriately named by God as signs to Israel: Jezreel, Ramaha, and Lo-Ami. Means God scatters, not pitied, and not my people. Similarly, God will judge and scatter Israel because of her sin. Gomer seeks other lovers, deserts Hosea. Despite of the depth to which her sin carries, Hosea redeems her from the slave market and restores her. The adulterous Israel and faithful God, person. Because of his own painful experience, Hosea can feel some of the sorrow of God over the sinfulness of his people. His loyal love for Gomer is a reflection of God's concern for Israel. However, Israel has fallen into the dregs of sin and is hardened against God's will to return. These people have flagrantly violated all of God's commandments. They are indicted by the holy God for their crimes. But now God wants to heal and redeem them. But in their arrogance and idolatry, they rebel. Chapters 9 and 10 of Hosea give the verdict of the case God has just presented. Israel's disobedience will lead to her dispersion. They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. 8. Israel spurns repentance. Judgment of God can. God is holy and just. He is also loving and gracious. God must discipline, but because of his endless love, he will ultimately save and restore his wayward people. How can I give you up, Ephraim? I will heal their backsliding. I will love freely, for my anger has turned away from Hosea 11:18. Hosea was very interesting. Hosea was a prophet of the northern kingdom, so a prophet to Israel. Amos had the same area of work assigned to him. He was a native of Judea, though his public ministry was north. He came to Samaria, a stranger from the wilderness of Tekoa, far to the south. It was different altogether with Hosea. He was a child of the evil northern land with whose inhabitants he pled on behalf of God. Only one born and brought up in the them by the tenderest bonds of family affection and national feeling could pity them so truly. Only such a one could yearn over them with a fond love and treat them with such a beseeching and persistent earnestness to turn to God. Throughout his prophecy, there were constant recurring allusions places in the territory of the ten tribes which speak of the writer's perfect familiarity with the scenery of the northern kingdom. His religion, we may say, was colored to some extent by the pleasantness and denial of his natural surroundings. Hosea was called to a work that plunged him into gloom. His lot was cast in a period when his country had to contend with many fears and fightings from without, when it was full of utter corruption within. His prophetic activity extended over a long time, and in this respect, he stands in sharp contrast to Amos, whose ministry was but an episode in his life, was quickly fulfilled. All his days, he seems to have preached righteous temperance and judgment to come in the hearing of men who paid little heed to the message. His work stretched over a series of years, during which he saw his people sink from the level of degradation. He began to speak God's word during Jeroboam's second Jeroboam. There was no governor for years to guide the affairs of the commonwealth. Then one sovereign after another, namely Zechariah, Shalom, Manahem, mounted their throne, placed on it like the later Roman empires by the rough soldiers of the palace, and permitted to rule only. It was in the midst of this unrest that Hosea addressed his country. While the government of the land was unsettled, it stage to stage in ways of have lost all sense of cast off every training and influence. There was no moral energy in their hearts, no self-control in their lives. Hosea was the prophet of the decline and fall of the northern kingdom. He has been called the Jeremiah of Israel. His name fits, for he preached when his nation was tottering to its ruin. Just as Jeremiah did for Judah, God raised him up to speak plain words to his fellow countrymen about their sin and to predict the heavy doom which sin must bring on the wrongdoer. Sometime in the reign of Jeroboam, Hosea married Gomer, daughter of Deborah, hoped to be sure that she would prove a good and loyal wife to him. The trustfulness with which Hosea regarded his spouse was justified. She showed herself unfaithful, left his roof to go after other lovers, mother of children, fidelity. Was it not the most grievous wound which yet? Despite Gomer's disloyalty, his love was that master feeling which the Song of Solomon calls strong as death, obstinate. He acknowledged her three children for his own. Whew. Gave them names to each of which a prophetic lesson was. By and by, he resolved that it was possible to win her back for old allegiance. After a state of utter misery, apparently sold as a slave, he had to buy her for himself. 15 pieces for a homer of barley. Half homer of Bali, for Bowman and Bali. So she came to dwell once more under her husband's roof, yet not to dwell there. Things could not go on as nothing happened. Days over her, exercising a wise, carefulness of her. It was from his own history that he learned at once the disobedience his native land and long-suffering pity of his Lord, of the Lord. Saw the shame which had blighted his home was a representation in miniature of that shame which the seed of Jacob, whom Jehovah had espoused to him, had cruelly inflicted on him. Saw also the grief which he felt over the errors of Gomer. Grief without an element of anger in it, symbolic of God's grief over his backsliding nation. He saw also that the divine heart was but his own human heart, all its feelings intensified. As Hosea passed through the troubles of his household, he saw from his experience the type of God's experience in dealing with his people. His suffering lifted him to fellowship with God. It taught him to think as God thought, gave him sympathetic insight of God's heart, so he came out of the fires, God's prophet, out of the fires as God's prophet and spokesman. God felt foolish. God felt towards God felt toward foolish Israel the same unselfish affection which Hosea knew that he had himself followed, he felt in his wife. Whatever gentleness and pity dwelt in his breast had been kindled at God's altar. Whatever readiness to forgive he might display, God would display it far more willingly and gladly. He was fit for the task. He is supposed to have been a native of the north and was familiar with evil conditions existing in Israel. This gave special weight to his message. It would appear from the narrative that he married a wife who proved to be unfaithful. This statement is God's attitude towards Israel. The comparison is God's attitude towards Israel, Hosea's attitude towards his adulterous wife. And the man Hosea, the name Hosea's Hebrew means salvation. It's interesting to observe that the name Joshua and Jesus are derived from the same Hebrew root, Hosea. Hosea's father was named. Hosea was ministering at the time the Assyrian invaders conquered Israel. Hosea and Jeremiah both preached the same kind of message. Both were weeping prophets. During almost like wartime. Isaiah and Micah were prophets of Judah, while Hosea was prophesying to Israel. Few of Hosea's messages were directed to the southern kingdom. Hosea was one of the tenderest of the prophets in his contacts with Israel. He has been called the prophet of the broken heart. His divine commission was to plead with the people of Israel to return to God. They did not respond, and so captivity came. Although his message went unheeded, he did not fail as a prophet. He was obedient to God, who called him, delivering God's message to the people. The Book of Hosea. The messages of the Book of Hosea, delivered sometime between 754 and 714 B.C., they were probably compiled by Hosea into one book towards the end of that period. In the days of Hosea, the northern kingdom of Israel was politically plagued by anarchy, unrest, and confusion, like today. The quick succession of kings suggests such an instability. One political faction favored alliance with Egypt, another with Assyria. Economically, the nation was prosperous, so they had money. Spiritually, it was the darkest hour of Israel, idolatry, immortality, haughty rejection of love spelled disease. Israel was a backslidden people. They preached to them. Read 2 Kings 15-17. Feel how black the darkness was. The theme of Hosea is this. Tender, loving God offers one last chance of restoration to hard-hearted, adulterous Israel. Is the unfaithful wife who has deserted her husband, gone after other lovers. God, through the prophet Hosea, invites her back. Turn, O Israel, to the illustrations of the highly figurative language. He uses a lot of figurative language. We have the Valley of Anchor. This was shown as a door of hope. He talks about that they were joined to idols, committed to idolatry. Mixed among the people, the Jews had become a people no longer separated as God told them to be, thus becoming an unholy nation. A cake not turned, he used. This expresses thought of half-heartedness being dough on one side. It says, strangers have devoured his full association of the mixing. Other peoples had weakened the nation. That mixing, I do not believe it was mixing of races. I believe it was mixing of pagans with the Christian people. Israel swallowed up when a nation is no longer pure because of crossbreeding with pagan or ungodly people, we can say that the national identity is lost. Isaiah 8:8. Use another term, vessel wherein there is no pleasure. Synopsis, Israel's apostasy. It is symbolized by the experience of the prophet in his marriage. Prophetic discourses chiefly descriptions of the backsliding and idolatry of the people, mingled with threatenings and exhortations. Call to repentance, promises of future blessings is chapter 14 at the end. God's promises, and they did. Hosea was definitely. That was the first one we did. Then we went into the book of Joel. Joel, keys to Joel. The key words, the great and terrible day of the Lord. The key theme of Joel is the day of the Lord in retrospect and prospect. Joel uses terrible locust plagues that has recently occurred in Judah to illustrate the coming day of judgment. So Joel was a prophet in Judah. Hosea was a prophet in Israel. To illustrate the coming day of judgment, they were both talking about judgment day coming. God will directly intervene in human history to vindicate his righteousness. This will be a time of unparalleled retribution upon Israel and all nations, but this time will culminate in great blessings and salvation for all who trust in the Lord. Joel 2:18. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel is written as a warning to the people of Judah of their need to turn humbly to the Lord with strong heart, so that God can bless rather than buffet them. If they continue to spurn God's gracious call to repentance, judgment will be inevitable. Joel stresses the sovereign power of God over nature and points out how God used nature to get the attention of God. Does. Key verses are Joel 2:11, verse 28. 29. The key chapter is Joel 2. The prophet calls for Judah's repentance, promises God's repentance from his planned judgment upon Judah if they indeed turn to him. Though the offer is clearly given, Judah continues to rebel against the Lord. Judgment is to follow. In that judgment, however, is God's promises of his later outpouring fulfilled initially on that day of Pentecost, ultimately when Christ returns for the culmination of the day of the Lord. The key thought in Joel, national repentance blessing. The brief book of Joel develops the crucial theme of the coming day of the Lord. It's a time of awesome